mine, I said, you know, I tried to describe to him what happened to me. Well, I know that. I believe that. And I'm thinking, you don't have a clue, jerk. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't call him a jerk, but I'm thinking, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Because if you did, you'd weep at his presence like I did. See, when I got saved and I came into that relationship with him, I can remember as clearly as I'm looking at you tonight, the day that when I put my knees on the floor, looked up to the moon that was in the windows and just began to worship him and think, God, you really want to have something to do with me. You really, really, really want me. And I can really talk to you and you'll really answer me. Amen. Woo, glory to God. As the song says, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Last week we talked about shutting your mouth, if you all remember. Glory to God. If you don't, go back on the website or YouTube or whatever, find it, look at it. It brings life in Jesus' name. But verse 1, watch this. Pastor said, shut your mouth. I sure did. I'm not taking it back either. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? The perfect will of God. So that you'll know, and another version says, so that you'll know what God's will is for your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you know, somebody said, well, you never know what God's will is. And I say, that's not true. That's not true. You'll never know what God's going to do. I say, well, that's not true either. Because the Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Right? And if you look again at verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And all of that yields to the first, you know, 11 chapters. But what he's really saying, because of what Jesus did for you, and because you're now in relationship with God, and because your sins have been taken away, this is what you should do. This is what you ought to do. Glory to God. And so when we get to verse 2 and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I checked that out beforehand. It didn't do it. So it's all your fault. Present a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Don't be conformed. So you can either be conformed to something or you can be transformed by something. But you have the choice. Some people go, well, you know, if God wants me to do that, I'll do that. If God doesn't want me to do that, I won't do that. Or, you know, it's almost putting everything back in God's court. And he said, no, 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 no. Because God has done this for you, this should be your response to what he's done. Right? And this word conformed, I like the term, and you don't think about it as much as adults, but growing up in school and going to middle school, especially middle school, I went from a parochial school in eighth grade to a public school in ninth grade. What a cultural shock that was, right? But anyway, there's peer pressure. Peer pressure. And that's what conformity is. You're pressured to do something because everybody else is doing it. And you think, well, I'm an adult man. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be conformed to that. Well, I would suggest to you that some of us wear certain clothes and do certain things not because we like them, but because everybody else likes them. And we want to fit in, so we're doing the You know, we're not satisfied with the way we look because some commercial has told us that we ought to look this way, and we judge ourselves because we're trying to be conformed to an image that's not the right image. And this says, watch this, do not be conformed, but be transformed. How many are exactly where you want to be? You just know that you're everything God wants you to be. And so, man, I've just arrived. Marilyn Half, come on up. I'll give you the mic. Right? Right? No, but watch this. No, but is there something I can do to further what God has for me? And the key is, you know, I want to fix somebody. I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody grow up. And I want them to be changed. And we're expecting them to be changed. Well, I'll lay hands on them. And, you know, I'm all for laying hands on people. But it's not laying hands on them that's going to get them transformed in a sustained fashion. So you can't go against God's Word. Now, I've seen the Word of God. I've seen the name of Jesus get somebody delivered like that. When I got saved, man, I went from being a pothead and drinking a lot to not even desiring it in the name of Jesus. Right? But some of my character and some of the things that still hung on to me, because even though I was born again and my spirit was new, my mind wasn't new. I needed my mind to be changed. And if I want real sustained change, then I have to do something about that. But I've got good news for you. You don't have to be conformed, but you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? And watch this. The devil wants us all to be conformed. And the picture that I get, I don't know if any of you have ever seen this, but, you know, the cars that you have out there, they got the fenders with all these, you know, forms and shapes. And you know what they do? They come with a blank piece of metal, and they have a machine that goes into it, and they just stamp it. And that's the fender. Why? Because there's enough pressure put on it to make it conform to the very thing, you know, glory to God. Well, the world wants to pressure you into being what the devil wants you to be. But God wants to transform you into what He has made you to be. Come on. God wants you to be, as the old army saying, all that you can be. Right? He wants you to reach your potential. He wants you to be who He's created you to be. The Word of God has the power to do that. But we must believe that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, what's the reward for diligently seeking Him? You get what you're seeking. Right? So if we seek God for a renewed mind, if we come to the Word of God with an attitude and with faith that as I'm reading this, whether I feel it, whether I think it or not, I'm being changed. Right? And it's so awesome because it's not an instant process, and often it's a step-by-step process. Glory to God. It's so funny. He won't hear this, so I can do it. I've got a grandson who's going to be 14 in a few days. And how did that happen? I don't know. But about a year ago, all of a sudden his voice started to change. And now he's got a bass voice. I mean, it's way down. I mean, you know. But I called his phone the other day. And when I called his phone, I heard this,
"Hello, you have reached Liam's phone."
And I'm thinking, I thought, did Rosen pick up his phone? But because, watch this, it's so cute. I said, "Honey," I told Donnie, I said, "whatever you have to do, save that. Don't ever get rid of that. I don't know how you're going to do it, but get it because it's so awesome." But he, because of what his body's going through, is being transformed from a child, adolescent, into a man, right? Now, through the Word of God, if we'll allow the Word of God to do it, it will transform us into what God wants for us. Watch this. But just like that word there, and many of you know this, it's the same word that we get metamorphosis from in the Greek. And, you know, the best and the one that everybody uses is a caterpillar into a frog, right? I mean, not into a frog. I'm thinking, I had two things going. Now it's good. No, I was thinking, it was really funny, because I was going, tadpole into a frog. No, the caterpillar into a butterfly, right? Now watch this. But God can do anything, right? No, but never mind. Watch this. Don't laugh at me. Now watch. Watch this with me. Yeah, I'm laughing too, so it's okay. Watch this. This is so incredible because when that caterpillar gets into the cocoon, it doesn't necessarily see the change. And the whole process of while he or she is in that cocoon, they're not even sure that they're not still a caterpillar. But when that cocoon is broken, all of a sudden they can go, you know. They know that something has changed, right? So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Word of God has the power to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. But you have to be patient in the process. You have to be patient in the process and don't measure your success or failure by where you are. Measure it by your obedience to do what He tells you to do. Because you're responsible for your obedience. He's responsible for the change. Come on, is that good? That is so incredibly good. Go to Psalms 139. Psalm 139. This is such an incredible psalm that we're going to read all of it, although I just really want to get to one verse, but I can't help myself. Now, how many believe that the Word of God is for you? Right? Is this a love letter for you? Is this God writing to you? Absolutely, 100%. But how do you receive what the Word wants to produce in you? By faith. Right? By faith. Lord, I believe that Your Word is true, and I believe it's for me. Now watch this. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. For You comprehend my lying down, and You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. We might as well get it straight. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're feeling. God knows what we want to do, right? And what we don't want to do. He knows it all, right? So watch this. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, but not to our thoughts, but to His thoughts. Right? Because you already know what you think. I mean, right? And just for a second, I want to get off just for a second. Sometimes we think what we think because of how we got to the place where we're at. Right? In other words, I'm this way because, you know, what house I was raised in, what happened to me as a child, all of those things. I come to my whole sense of thinking in my heart because of my experience and what I've heard and what I've been taught. Well, if I want that to change, there has to be a switch in my thinking. And that has to do with your thoughts. The renewing of your mind is the ability that God's Word can get you to think differently than you're thinking right now. In Proverbs 23, he says this. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In fact, let's go there for a minute because I want to point this out and we'll come back to this. Proverbs 23. Because I want to read this in context and because there's a point here that I want to make. Verse 1, it says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. I love this analogy. Put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on what is not? For the riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacy. For as a man thinks in his heart, and so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsels you have eaten you will vomit up, and waste your pleasant words. Here's the point that I'm trying to make, is that in our heart is what we think. And if you want to change your heart, you have to change what you think. Now, I just want to point this out, and you may have never gotten in trouble by this, but I do regularly, and God's been working with me on this, is that I know what she's thinking. I know what he's thinking. I know what they're thinking. And then I react out of what I think they're thinking. Because I know what they're thinking. And they shouldn't be thinking what they're thinking. And by God, I'm going to let them know about it. In fact, God sick them. Right? And God, you know. And you gave me these people, but God, you know what they're thinking, and their thinking is stinking, and you get yourself to a place where you're all out of sorts and you don't have a clue what they're thinking. Right? Because you haven't asked them what they're thinking. You've only heard maybe what they're thinking through the ears of your heart rather than their heart. You're only, and oftentimes here's, and it's so foolish, but we get into it. All of us get into it. Well, did you hear what so-and-so? Yeah, brother, I just had to call you up. So-and-so called me, and this is what they said about you. I knew they were thinking that. Bless God. And we go down this road where we're going to just, and the Bible talks here about how, what a trap that is, how stupid that is, how far it can get you into trouble and rob you of love for the brethren, because you're thinking you know what he's thinking because of what somebody else said that they were thinking. But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's like, Lord, I don't need to hear their words. I need to hear their heart. And I'm not wise enough to know their heart, but you know their heart. Back to Psalm 139. So it's kind of like, I know what they're thinking. Slap yourself. Because you're about to go down a road that may not be the right road. And if it's somebody that you love, ask them. Talk to them. See, this is what, even when oftentimes we misunderstand what somebody's saying because we're hearing it through our heart. And our heart is made up of our thoughts, or the thoughts that have been crammed in there that's conformed us to an image. Are you getting it? Right? And so we have to come to them. Now, this is what I heard you say. Is that what you meant? I can't tell you how many times that my experience has been, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But sometimes we don't believe that. How about this? I was just joking with you. No, you weren't. You said it. You don't like red hair. That's checked against you. And I'm telling you because it forms a stronghold in you because you're thinking you know what somebody else is thinking when you don't even know their heart because you don't know your heart. Glory to God. But we can trust the Word of God because the Word of God, the Bible says that it's quick and it's powerful in Hebrews chapter 4 and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide even between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when we renew our mind to the Word of God, we're giving God the opportunity to expose our heart and to delineate in our hearts and separate the wheat from the chaff. Are you listening to me? Because I'm telling you that God has a potential for you that I don't think many ever reach. I think Jesus is the only one that ever reached his full potential. I think he is. But I don't want to aim so low that I don't at least reach as much as I can. And I can't worry about what I didn't reach yesterday. I've got to worry about what I'm going to be tomorrow. So I want to be transformed from this to what God has for me there. You know, some of you even think you know what God thinks. Come on. There's all kinds of people. You can watch them and thus saith God but they don't have a clue what God thinks. How do I know that? Because what they're saying is a violation of the Word of God, and God wouldn't violate his word. Right? So we can't just religiously look at the Word. We have to have the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, who lives in us in the process of renewing our minds. Glory to God. Verse 4 again, it says that in Psalm 139. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea and enter there, your hand will lead me and your right hand shall hold me. In other words, you can't get away from him. We don't want to. And that's not the great point. The great point for me is that he doesn't want us to. It's a side story, but I remember, I think it was Brother Shambaugh, he had a call to the ministry, right? But he didn't want to go in the ministry. And so I think he went into the Navy. And he was on a ship somewhere in the South Sea, and he found God was there. And so, well, let's go over here. And he'd go over here, but God was there. And he went, because the gifts and the callings of God were without repentance. But thank God that God knows even when we're out of bounds, he's with us to put us back in bounds. Are you listening to me? But I want to be transformed into his image. I don't want to be transformed into the image that you think I should be based on what you think God thinks. That's a mouthful, but I want to be transformed into the image that God has for me. Because I'm different than you. Thank God I'm different than you. Listen, but no, and it, you're different from me. Why? Because God needs all of us. Right? He needs all of us. And yet, it has to come from that personal relationship with you and God and the Word of God and saying, Lord, just point some things out. Show me, direct me, lead me, guide me. Glory to God. Isn't it awesome that He wants to do that for you? Isn't it awesome that He wants... So when you're reading the Bible and you're looking at it and you have those days where it just doesn't seem like it, you're getting anything out of it, it's not true. You're in the cocoon. Let me say that again. You're in the cocoon. See, I believe in that there's power in the bagats. I believe the bagats are alive. You remember, and all through, you know, the first chapter of Matthew, this one begat that one, the begat that one, the begat that one, the begat, and you go, Or you're reading in Numbers and it says this one had this many and this son had this son. And you're going, But I believe that there's power in that. I believe God can use that to change you. I'll tell you a story on that. That everybody knows Ronnie. He's with Jesus right now. And he's an awesome guy. But he came... He met the Lord in prison. In fact, it was Pierce County Jail that Jesus came into his cell. Jesus literally came into his cell and he got born again. And God would just speak to him out of his cell. But he wrote a whole paper on the bagats. And what he did is he looked in the original Hebrew language what each name meant. And he took this name to mean this, to this name, to this, and it painted a story. So there's power even in the bagats. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying we must begin to look at the Word of God as the very source that can get us from where we are to where God wants us to be, because there's power in the Word of God. Glory to God. Verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be my light about me, indeed my darkness shall not hide from you, and the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Now look at this next verse, and we use this a lot for different things, but for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. Do you believe that? If that's the case, and God doesn't make mistakes, you're not one. Yeah. You're not one. But you may not have hit your potential yet. And the reason sometimes that we never reach our potential is because we've been conformed by the world. We've been pushed and molded and shaped into something that they say that we are. And so that's how we think in our heart. So that's who we are. So in order for us to get through the cocoon, we have to renew our mind to who God says that we are. Are you with me? And watch this. You're not a mistake. Listen to me, there's nobody born that's a mistake. Everybody has significance in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you a story. There's a man, and he tells the story of when he was, and this was back in like the late 40s, early 50s, His mom and his biological dad, they got together. She got pregnant, and he just left her. So here she is, you know, mother having a baby back then. Completely different than now. Completely different than now. That was the day of, you know, the some people would try to push you to abortion in a back alley somewhere, you know, awful things. But the mother said, no, this is my son. But all of his life, he kind of grew up with the attitude that I'm an illegitimate son. But then God got a hold of him. And he got a revelation that God was his father. His name is James Robinson. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's preached around the world. Many have been saved by, you know, gotten saved through his ministry. He does a feed. He's on the pro. I mean, he's an incredible man of God that has so much wisdom in God. But once, by the world standards and especially the culture at the time, he was not worth anything. But God formed him. God put skin around his self. Come on. That's the thing I can never figure out, although I understand it, but I've been transformed. I used to have the mindset that, you know, if somebody gets pregnant and they don't want to be pregnant, you know, just get an abortion. It's not that big a deal. But since I've been saved and I found out some things from the Word of God, I go, oh, my Lord. How could... Here's what I don't understand, and it's because of the pressure of conformity to the world system, how somebody who has carried a child, a mother who's carried a child, could ever think that was okay. Right? Because why? There, you know right away. I mean, when we were pregnant with our first child, and Micah was in the womb, and you know, just being around Renita and knowing that that's my baby, you know. Now, I'm not putting condemnation on anybody that's ever had an abortion, because I was right in the place where that was okay. But my mind has been renewed because I've seen who God is. So there's no mistakes. Here's the awesome thing. Even if we made a bunch of mistakes in our lives, even if we've been pressured into making mistakes and being conformed, my Redeemer lives. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? That He's paid for all of my mistakes. Let's go on. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Think about this. The world wants to shame us if we don't fit their mold. But tonight, I need you to think differently. Because God thinks differently about you. And He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has a desire for you. But it's not in who you think you are. It's in discovering who He thinks you are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Your eyes, verse 16, saw my substance being yet uninformed. And in your book, they're all written, the days fashioned for me when I was yet there were none of them. Now watch this. This is the verse I wanted to get to. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. When we talk about renewing our minds, what we're really saying is, God, what do you think? Have you ever asked God, what do you think of me? Or what are your thoughts? See, because that's the way God speaks to us most of the time, is through our thoughts. Now, some of you may have had experienced visions, dreams, all that, and there's, you know, I'm for all of that. Many of you may have had, you know, audible voices that God has spoken to you that way. Awesome. I never have. But I've had impressions in my spirit. I've had thoughts that I knew came from God. And it's those thoughts is the way that God speaks to me. But watch this. Listen to this. How precious also are your thoughts to me. You know, sometimes we've got to renew our mind to get to the point where we can say this. Because, God, how can you think anything of me but that I'm not worth anything? That I'm not good for anything? That I'll never accomplish anything? That, God, I don't know if you've ever thought that. I've thought that. And even to this day, there are days where I go, God, how could you even love me? I'm a mess. Sometimes my thoughts are a mess. Sometimes I don't do the right thing. Sometimes I don't say the right thing. Come on. I'm a mess. But no. How precious also are your thoughts to me. God, what do you think? See, what are you thinking? Are you thinking your thoughts? Are you thinking somebody else's thoughts? Or are you thinking God's thoughts towards you? See, we want to renew our minds to what God thinks about us. And when's the last time you said, God, what do you think? He says here, how precious are your thoughts toward me? Have you ever had something precious? Right? Have you ever had something? And this is mature. When I held my son for the first time and his head was here and his arms were dangling there, I looked at him and I said, God, you love me this much? Because he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those? And I went, God, you... Because it was something I'd never experienced. That type of love I'd never experienced before. But when I held him, I knew it. And my prayer was... And he said this to me. He said, well, I gave him to you as a gift, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. But he's precious. He's precious. And I'll tell you, to this day, I'd die for him. Because that's how precious he is to me. My daughter, the same way. We got the opportunity to have Johnny Rose live with us for a while because her mother had to do something and go somewhere. And, you know, I could see the anxiety on her mother. And I just said, look, I'll take care of her. I'll die for her. You don't have to worry. You can just see the thing go. Why? Because she's precious in my sight, right? How precious are your thoughts toward me? Is his thoughts something that you value? Do you even think that he thinks of you as precious? He does. He does. I've said this many times, but I'll say it one other thing. Do you know that the value of something is the price somebody will pay for it? Right? I mean, you can have this classic 1967 Cadillac that's all rusted up, and you think, man, this is a classic. I can get lots of money for this. Put it on Craigslist and put a price tag of $25,000 on it, and you don't get any offers. Then finally, you know, you say best offer. Somebody comes and hands you $500 and say, take it or leave it. The value of it's not what you think it is. It's the price somebody's willing to pay for it. For God so loved the world. Put your name right in there. For God so loved Bruce that the price that he paid was his only begotten son. So he wouldn't give his son for something that he didn't value. Tonight, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God? See, I'm talking about renewing your mind, but I'm really saying what we need to do is replace our thoughts when they don't line up with His thoughts. And the first place that we come for that is here, right? If we're thinking one thing and the Word says something different, then He's right, I'm wrong. And so I'm going to replace my thoughts with His thoughts. If my thought is that everybody hates me, then I need to get into His Word. If I think that I'm unlovable, I need to get into His Word. If I think that I need to, you know, have revenge on everybody and I need to get you before you get me and right, that type of thinking, then I need to get in the Word and have that changed. Right? Because that's not how love thinks. But I'm telling you tonight that God wants to speak to you about how precious you are to Him. Watch this. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Glory to God. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Now watch this. Go down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God. Now, we started at the beginning. You know my thoughts. You know everything about me. Right? You know what I'm thinking. You know what I said. You know what I did. You know everything about me. Search my heart, O God. That's not for God to get information. That's for God to reveal you what you're thinking so that He can change what you're thinking into what He's thinking. Now look at what He says. This is so cool. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show me my heart. Show me my heart, Lord. If I'm thinking what she's thinking that they said she was thinking is not the right thinking, I need to show you the bitterness that I've let grow a root into my heart. Because, God, that's not what you're thinking. And I want to be transformed into love. I want to love everybody. I want to know everybody. I want to see everybody as you see them. And so I need your word to pluck out that bitterness, right? Because as far as you're concerned, I have a destiny that I'm allowing the conformity to what the world says to keep me from your perfect will. Glory. I got good news for you tonight. God has got a destiny for you that's better than you think, that's greater than you think. But you have to come to Him and say, Lord, search my heart. Show me my heart. Show me where my heart doesn't line up. I'll just be honest with you, in the climate that we're in politically, nationally, whatever, and some of the things that have gone on, it's been a time of reflection for me saying, Lord, you know, I'm thinking a certain thing based on the things that I know, things that I've said, even the word that I've read, But Lord, there is the possibility that I could be there's the possibility that I could be Lord, there is the slight possibility that I might not be 100% correct. Right? But I don't want CNN to tell me. I don't want Fox News to tell me. I'll tell you this. I don't want TBN to tell me. I don't want CBN to tell me. I don't want Prophet so-and-so to tell me. I want you to tell me. Because I don't want to know what they think you're thinking about me. Right? Right? I want to know what you think about me. Search my heart, God. Part of me is really scared to pray that prayer. But your thoughts toward me are precious. You want the best that's for me. You want me to fulfill my days. You want to say to me when I get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I must trust that you are, and that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So, Lord, I put my heart into your hands. Now, I'm fixing to commence to close. I went to Oklahoma for a couple years, so I learned all of that. But watch this. I'm fixing to commence to close. Watch this. It's really interesting when two people get married. And really what they're doing, and the Bible talks about the two become one flesh. And what's supposed to happen is that you're the one person in the world that I trust my heart with. So here's my heart. But we found out that, you know, sometimes things are said and done right, and they don't really got our heart the way we think they should have our hearts. But oftentimes, here's what happens. We think we know what they meant by what they said, and we don't know their heart. Right? But if we can ever get to the place where I trust you with my heart, and I trust you with my heart, and I'll never violate that, because I value who you are. I value the preciousness of the gift that God has given to me. And that's more important to me than anything else. That's the recipe for really becoming intimate with that other person. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you entered into the covenant. Not into a covenant, into the covenant. Because the covenant that you entered into wasn't between you and God. It was between Jesus and God that was made available to you. But through that covenant, God wants to restore the real you. Are you listening to me? I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. But he did all the work. I just get all the benefits. I'm in him, and that's where the covenant becomes a reality to me. But again, God didn't send Jesus because he thought I wasn't valuable. But he wants to take me from where I am to where he wants me to be. I've heard this said, and you've heard it said, and I believe there's truth in the saying that God will take you right the way where you are right now. God loves you right tonight. If you didn't change anything about you, his love is the same for you. But I also believe that God's will for you and his love for you will not leave you the same as you came, because he knows what your original design is for, and he's got to get out the thinking that's opposed to him and put in his thoughts. Glory to God. But here's the good news. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, listen, it's important that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send another comforter. And that word another in the Greek is another one of the same kind. In other words, he's going to think the same thing. He's going to say the same thing. He's going to do the same things. But why is it so important is because he won't just be with you. He'll be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us to let us know what God is thinking. Is that good? So good. Did you get anything tonight? Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit through your word. Lord, I've been transformed tonight because I've come into the presence of your word. I'm being changed, Lord. I'm not the same as I was before I walked up to the podium, Lord. I'm different because we've been in the presence of your word. I just pray over every person that's hearing this now or will hear it in the future, that the seed of your word will produce in hearts that are ready to hear it. Father, in Jesus' name, if there's anybody anywhere who's never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all you have to do is put your heart into His hands and say, I believe that I need somebody to help me get to God. Jesus is that somebody. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a Savior. Jesus, take my life. I give it to you completely, fully, 100% in Jesus' name. If you did that, welcome to the family. Call, write us, let us know, but be blessed in Jesus' name. Father, I pray the blessing over everybody that's watching. I pray, God, that you would touch them, spirit, soul, and body. Father, I believe that demons have to leave in Jesus' name. I believe peace has to come where turmoil has been. And in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Amen. Amen.